It's not 2020. It happens to be 3420. And here's what it says. No one is to appear before me empty-handed. Lord Jesus, we appear before you now. We appear before you now. And we want to open our mind to receive what you are telling each one of us this day. We thank you for opportunities of worship which we've experienced this day, where your glory has in fact filled this place, and we have received that glory, and we ask that that glory continues to be manifested in us in ways that we've never seen or thought of before. For you have indeed told us that what you're going to do in and through each one of us, insignificant as we may be, each one of us in this body of Christ will astound all the world. For it is true, you have said, that the eye has not seen, the ear has not heard what you have purposed for this body of believers. And we bless you that this day we can move into that field. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, this afternoon, there are going to be a lot of people in a lot of places yelling and rooting and getting all excited about some men that are down there on the field. And it's like those guys are just going to, oh, if I just can make that goal, maybe I'm the one that can just catch a fumble, and I'm not supposed to run this way, but I'll just run and I'll go. And when that happens, all those people in the arena are going to be looking down. Let's call them a great host of witnesses. What does the Bible say about that in Hebrews? We are compassed about with a great cloud of witnesses. So when those two teams are in that bowl this afternoon, they are encompassed about with a whole lot of witnesses. But I want you to shift gears, and I want you to put yourself down there on the field. You're on the field. As a matter of fact, you are part of a very important team, and Jesus is wanting us to make the goal. And do you realize that Jesus made a goal? Jesus made a goal. It says in Luke 13:32, Jesus said, I have reached my goal. I've reached my goal. And as the center, he has thrown, I can do it, ha! He has thrown the ball, the gospel, to each one of you. He's thrown it to you. And you are to do something with that gospel that you have. And you are part of the co-ed team of Community Church Fellowship. And the owner manager of this team is LJC, the Lord Jesus Christ. And he has bought this team with a price. And you talk about players getting enormous salaries. He, Jesus, has bought you with a price that surpasses $6 million in 2 years. He's bought you, the team members, with a price. And the price, of course, is the blood of his own son. So the owner manager is LJC, the Lord Jesus Christ. The coach is LNC, Lloyd Neal Carlson. And you are the players in the NFL, the New Faith League that starts from our church. So I want to present to you four super goals that you can make, and I want you to make them this day. Cliff, would you pass these up on? And so you can remember the sermon, you can take my notes home. Making your four goals. Jesus said, I've made my goal. Now he's saying to you people, I want you to make a goal also. And there are four goals that I'm going to suggest to you that you can make. Now, if you're reading out of the King James translation, for example, you're not going to find the word goal. But if you're using the NIV, you're going to find the word spelled G-O-A-L, goal. And there are four goals here that we're going to look at that I want you to make. And when you see those players this afternoon making that goal, I want you to say, hey, there I am. And that number is my number. And I'm making the goal. And the cloud of witnesses, those who have gone on before you, your mom, your dad, your grandmother, your grandfather, if they have passed on, are there watching you, rooting for you. They see you down on the field, and you've got the ball. They say, make the goal. And when you do make these four goals, you can rest assured that there's a standing ovation in the grandstand and the cloud of witnesses all around you. Now the first goal, 2 Corinthians 5:9, read it with me, would you? So we make it our goal to please him, whether we are at home in the body or away. Have you ever thought of pleasing God? Now, you thought of pleasing your mom, your dad, and your boss, and maybe your friends. But have you ever thought of, am I pleasing you, God? Am I pleasing you, God? The scripture says in 1 Thessalonians 4:1, these words. Finally, brothers, we instructed you how to live in order to please God. So as Paul says that, I say that to you. Brothers and sisters in our team here, I am instructing you with these words this day so that you can please God, as in fact you are living, to please God. So I guess the first down is this. Do we even want to please God? Maybe we don't want to please God. Maybe since he's out of sight, he's out of mind, I can do what I want to do and not be worried about this. But the first down is, do we really want to? And then secondly, then, okay, how are we going to accomplish this? What are we going to do? So to that end, I'm going to give the signal out to the captain on the team. You play 69-30-31. That's Psalm 69. So since you have that memorized, you don't have to turn to it. You know what you're supposed to do. But since I don't, I will read it to you. Psalm 69, that's the play. Verse 31. It says this, I will praise God's name in song. I will glorify him with thanksgiving. This will please the Lord. Now remember, the goal was to please God. I make it my goal to please God. So David is saying, I'm going to praise God in song. That's number one. I'm going to glorify him with thanksgiving. That's number two. And if I do those two things, this is going to please the Lord more than a bull with its horns and hooks. Isn't that a great scripture? If you do that, as you did that this morning, it pleased God. Then the other play that we can also use with that is Romans 8:8. Romans 8:8. And Paul here is saying, great words. Those controlled by the sinful nature cannot please God. That's a very good scripture. But it doesn't belong right here. It belongs further down. So the first play is this. You want to please God. You want to please God. Please God or man. And when you're pleasing man, this equates to a fumble. And I've heard people tell me before, you know, I would like to do this or that, but what will they think if I do it? And I say, well, what's God going to think if you don't do it? So we have this dilemma. This is how we fumble. We get the ball, and it says, I'll make it my goal to please the Lord, but then I've got to decide if I'm going to please God or am I going to please man. And this is what Paul is saying. He said, I've got to decide whether I'm going to please God or man, Galatians 1:10. And then in Galatians 1:10, it says, I'm going to grow in the knowledge so I can please God. So this is our goal. This is our goal. And in Hebrews 11:6, it says, as we go toward our goal, without faith, it's impossible to please God. Now, what was the goal? The goal was to please God. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. So you can run, and you can make that goal. And of the four goals we mentioned, this first one and the fourth one are the most important. The first one is pleasing God. People, I want you to please God. I want you to do things that please him, not please man. You can make that goal. You can make the goal of pleasing God. So we make it our goal to please him. The second goal is pressing on. I like this one. Philippians 3:13-14. Read with me if you will. Forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, You press on toward what? Why? to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. I press on. In other words, the word is I strain. I am straining on. I'm going to strain on to make the goal. I'm going to exert all my physical strength to do that. But I may not want to do that. And what Paul says, you know, the things that I want to do, I don't do, and the things that I don't do, I want to do. You know, I'm all mixed up sometimes. But here it is. Are we straining toward that goal, as he says? Pressing on, straining. Because we can loiter, or we can trifle just along the line, and let time go by. You know, time is flying. Eternity is getting nearer and nearer and nearer. And I think the contemporary church has lost the concept of eternity, that Jesus is coming back, and that we're pressing on toward this. I think that we have lost somehow or another the importance of this whole eternity matter. And the reason for that is we've gotten so narrowed down in our thinking to this very day and the things that we do in this life, and we forget the eternity matter. And it affects our church. It affects our attitude. So to press toward the goal is to exert yourself with all of your physical strength, and exactly whatever time it's going to be when the first goal is made by running. That guy is going to run with all of his strength he's got. He's going to strain every muscle. He's just going to go straining every nerve, exerting himself, putting forth every bit of strength in that race for the line. And the people in the grandstand are going to say, "Ooh, go, go, go." And he's going toward a white line. Paul said a mark. Yes, a mark. Paul said, I stretch myself toward the mark. For the prize, not a ring or a pot of money, but for the glory of God. And his eye this afternoon will be fixed upon that. So the first down is this. We get discouraged, or we can have encouragement. We can have courage and determination, or just the opposite. But the neat thing is that as that runner runs, who is before him? No, the runner this afternoon. These guys. Yes, the other people. And especially, it'll probably come down just to one guy who is blocking. And the neat thing is that he can run with that ball because he knows without a shadow of a doubt, or he's hoping, that the guy behind him is going to get knocked out of the way by his own man. The point is this. Jesus has thrown you the ball. He has gone on before us. Running interference, too. That's what we will see this afternoon. So Jesus has run interference. In fact, he said, you know, I'm not going to ask you to go anywhere that I have not gone, and that even includes death. There is nothing you'll have to be subjected to that I do not understand and know. So he is our forerunner. He is blocking. He's the vanguard. He's the forerunner. And therefore, we need to do something really important. We need to stay as close to him as we can in running so that he can prepare the way for us. And that's what John 15:5 says. And I guess that's the play that we would mention. Let's use John 15:5 in our NFL, which is, I'm the vine, you're the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Watch the next word. Apart from me, you can do nothing. So he's running before, and the scripture is, that's the goal. It's the second goal that you can make as this team works together, and the goal is pressing on toward the goal. The third goal is love. And we'll just pass through this, but it's important to read with me 1 Timothy 1:5. The goal of this commandment is love, which comes from a pure heart and a good conscience and a sincere faith. The reason he writes these words is that people were all wrangling over genealogy. They were all caught up in all of this genealogy mess. And he tries to straighten them out by saying, you know, the goal of this commandment is love. It comes from a pure heart and a good conscience and a sincere faith. So what they were doing were in in the sense they were debating with one another, and it was causing strife in their debate, and they couldn't love. And I see that today in our Christian church, in theological positions, where one says, this is what I believe, and if you don't believe this way, it's not right. In fact, I heard this last week even, you know, you got to do this, and you can't do that. And if you do that, then you're not part of us. And isn't that insane? When we all actually are part of this huge team, the body of Christ, universal, through faith in Jesus. So theological points today, positions, have fractured our overall team. But within our team, the goal is love. And the first down is, you throw your love toward God. You throw your love toward yourself. You look in the mirror and say, hi, I'm okay after all. And you throw your love toward one another. Jesus said in Matthew 19:19, love your neighbor as yourself. So we have these three goals that we can in fact meet, or he wouldn't have asked us to do it. And every time you meet the first goal of pleasing him, the angels in heaven rejoice. Because it says that when a sinner comes before into the kingdom of God, the angels in heaven rejoice. And no matter who you believe are in the great cloud of witnesses, those people are rejoicing. When you make that goal of pleasing God, when you make that goal of pressing on for the prize, and then when you follow through with love. But the fourth goal, the hardest of all goals to make, read with me Galatians 3:3. Are you so foolish, after beginning with the Spirit? Are you still there? Let's start over. Let's start over all together. Galatians 3:3. Are you so foolish, after beginning with the Spirit? Are you now trying to attain your goal by human effort? Have you suffered so much for nothing, if it really was for nothing? I doubt if you make a field goal on the first down, you can scratch that word out, first down. But there are field goals that are made. And I just sort of see that as a field goal that we make, not with our own effort, but with the effort of the Lord. The training is not in vain. Do you realize that what you're doing now is in training? Coming to church, worshiping, studying, singing, praying, reading. This is all part of a training session, and it's important. This is the practice session, Sunday and otherwise. But when we have these spiritual experiences like we have had this morning, powerful in the Holy Ghost, and miracles happening that we see and don't see, and more we will see as people come in, we can't just say, well, if we had anything to do with it, it's what God's Holy Spirit has done at that time. It's the Holy Spirit, and it is his gift toward us. But here's the primary problem. Working and living and doing in the flesh, or working and living and doing in the Spirit. Now, the scripture that I heard you read was, are you foolish after beginning with the Spirit, or are you now trying to attain your goal in human effort? So it indicates there was a time when something great was happening and they realized it was the Spirit, but now they are in themselves trying to do something, and it is for nothing. We've got to remember that it is not in physical strength or power that Satan is spoiled. It is not in physical strength or in power that he is defeated or that he is hampered in any way. It's by the authority, and it's by the power, and by the might of the Holy Spirit of God. Now, Satan is not taken back, and Satan is not intimidated, and Satan is not affected by sheer muscle power at all. What he is affected by is the Spirit of God that you proclaim, or we proclaim. And no secular arm, no human reasoning, no earthly power or document or policy should ever be used for the extension of the church, but the Spirit of God. But the spirit of the world says, oh, these are means to which we must have recourse. Otherwise, the cause of God is going to be ruined. I say, Satan, you lie. Secular arm and human reasoning and earthly policy is never to be used for the extension of the church. But the spirit of the world says, oh, no, no, no. You've got to use these things. Otherwise, the cause of God's going to suffer. To that, I just say, Satan, you lie, you lie. Now, the play we're going to use is Zechariah 4:6. And it's a good one. And it says, it's not by power, it's not by might, but it's by the Spirit. Now, this is a hard one for pastors. Well, let's just say, this is a hard one for me. And it could be a hard one for you, too, to put your creative juices to work and doing this and doing that and by your own power do things, which we often do. But in the things of the Spirit, God is saying, you play this in Zechariah 4:6, and you will make that goal because it's not by might nor by power, but by the Spirit of God. So we're going to the Scripture, Galatians 3:3, make it our goal not to obtain by human effort, which is really biggie. Now, Jesus made his goal, and according to the Scripture we read, which was in Luke 13:32, he said, I have reached my goal. He's laid his hands out on the cross on that goal post. And 1 Peter 1:9 says, as you read with me, for you have received the goal of your faith, the salvation of your soul. It's like the helmet of salvation has been put upon us. And when I put the cross before my mind and I say, Jesus, you made your goal, and I'm trying to tell my people that they should make a goal too, you put those two crosses together and it makes a goal post. So I say, let's change that Monday night football, people, in our team here on the NFL, New Faith League, let's change it to Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. And then put Sunday here, because Sunday's what? Sunday's a practice session that we're going, but tomorrow night we go on and we go on and on. So let me just ask you this as we close. What is your personal score? What does the scoreboard say? What have the recording angels written about you in making your goal? As of right now, what are your stats? Pleasing him? Pressing on, loving all. What about my human effort? What is it that you are ranked right now? So this afternoon, when you see a touchdown being made, you envision, that's me. That's me. I did it. I made my goal. And then when the camera pans, the thousands and thousands of people in the grandstand, you say, okay, there is right now being panned in my spiritual vision with Cam Carter, the cloud of witnesses that are rooting me on. And when I make one, two, three, or four of these goals, and they're goals that you have to make in every play of every game, which, of course, we play new games every day. You know, at midnight, the game is over, and at 12:01, a new game starts. So one day you may make all four goals. One day you may not make any. One day you may make two. But we still have the coach, and we've got the manager, and we've got the crowd. But when you see the guy make the goal today, please envision yourself there, would you? And say, hey, I can make that goal too. And then not only will the people in the grandstand in heaven say, that's really great, you know, that's great. You will also hear in your spirit Jesus saying, well done, thy good and faithful servant. Let's stand. Lord, as Paul says, I want to instruct you in various things. We are and have been instructed by your word this day about making these goals, and they are attainable. And I just ask that your Holy Spirit bless us in being the people that we should be, and like in the army, be all you can be with the U.S. Army. We are in an army, but we're also on a team, and I pray that this team that I address right now, this team would be all that it can be in Christ Jesus, where each team member is for the other team member and is looking out for the other team member and is watching very carefully, spiritually speaking, the plays that are being executed from the pulpit through your Holy Spirit, and then we would run the race that is before us toward the goal, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I do feel my arm is healed. And I'd like to lay this hand on anybody who wants to have their hand laid upon too. If you're here and you want prayer, we do invite you to come forth and forward to prayer. Anyone? I want to pray for Cliff's family who's been attacked by a bug. In Jesus' name, Lord, we just pray healing to Cliff's family right now. In Jesus' name. 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 I do as the scriptures say, lay hands upon the sick and they will get well. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Jesus. Next Sunday we're going to have communion. And I want to speak to you about communion, and I'll be saying some things you've never heard me say about communion. And the following Sunday, I'm speaking on, I laid my hands upon you, that Jesus said the believer will lay hands upon the sick and they will get well. And that is what it says. It doesn't say the pastor, the priest, the rabbi. It says who? The believer. Are you a believer? So 2 weeks from now, we want to zero in on, I want you to start laying your hands on everybody. Amen. Praise the Lord. We want to pray for Heather and Tannis with this forthcoming population boom. Well, it is a population boom. Well, of course. And you're going to put a sign on the population, Gilroy. But glad you want to come up. And this date is when?